اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen, bari'il khalaiqi ajma'in, ba'athil anbiya' wal-mursaleen. Wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibi qulubina wa tabibi nufusina wa shafi'i dhunubina abil qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening of the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. It's been a pretty long time since we've actually been able to convene and come together in person at our center. And these last days of the month of Sha'ban, the last weekend of the month of Sha'ban, we pray to Allah together, inshallah, that He grants us the building that we're looking at, which we think is pleasing to Him, and inshallah, it is pleasing to Him for us to have that and have it as a base for us so we can convene, come together in whatever way the conditions allow us, especially during the month of Ramadan, to have something somewhat of a program inside that building, whatever is allowed according to the guidelines that are given, or in some form of outdoor setup. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the opportunity to do that so we can all come together and have the Ramadan programs that we've had in a way where we can see each other, inshallah, in person, recite Quran together, have iftar together, do du'as together, have the a'mal of Laylatul Qadr together, the shahada of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the celebration of the walada of Imam al-Mujtaba, salamullah alayhi, all these various. Let's all pray, inshallah, by the right of the Imam of our time and the other Imams, Imam al-Husayn, Imam Zain al-Abideen, who were born in this month, and by the right of Allah, by the right of the Creator, by the right of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, we ask Him to grant us, inshallah, this place soon so that we can have our programs in somewhat of a more normal fashion, inshallah, instead of it only being online, me doing this from home and not seeing any of the brothers and sisters in person. The verses that were recited, and by the way, before I talk about the particular verses, I do want to remind us that the month of Ramadan is coming. The recitation of the Quran is something that is necessary. It is Rabi'ul Quran. The month of Ramadan is reciting the Quran, reading it, contemplating, reflecting, doing tartil of the Quran. Tartil means to read it in a way where you take your time in the reading process and you don't just rush through it. And what that does is it helps be able to process the words and their meanings. Although the meanings that are conveyed in the Quran have a lot of depth, so to get to all of that depth, it won't take one reading in that way. But that way of reading each time provides an opportunity for one's mind and heart to be able to unlock some of the meanings that are in the verses of the Holy Quran. We read a few chapters, one of them, I'll just touch on a few lines from each of these chapters. The short chapters of the Quran are concise, strong messages. And because of how concise and short they are, it makes it, God has made them easier to memorize. And it's very much recommended to memorize whatever of the Quran one can memorize. But because it's easier to memorize these verses, then reading them from memory, after having learned what the meanings of each of those words is, instead of just like a parrot memorizing it, which is still good, it's better than not doing that. But we're not downplaying that form of memorization. That needs to be there. But the thing is, we need to up our game. We need to go beyond that. We need to elevate that. Learn the meanings of those words. Since they're short chapters, finding the meanings of the words and the sentences is somewhat easier. And remembering the meaning of each word in the context of that chapter, there's not too many words, there's less words, less sentences, it's easier. So it's strongly recommended to do that, just because we do have all those general recommendations for any part of the Quran. It's just that perhaps one would find it easier to memorize here. The first chapter that was recited, as we have recited it many times, is Surah An-Nasr. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح. One of the things that's remembered here, or we are reminded of here, is that God's Nasr is coming. In the context of the center of the building, this building or another building, this time in the next few days, or perhaps, I don't know, weeks or however long, it may be this building or another building at this time or another time, but it's coming. And then, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. That's one thing that we can always relate to. There's other things here that are mentioned about Fath, the conquest of Mecca. We've talked about that aspect, but in this first verse, what is more general, we can remind ourselves of that, is to know that it's coming. Then, that's a given, in other words. It's not even a question whether or not it's coming. God's promised victory is coming, 110%. No questions about that. No worries regarding that. There should be no doubt regarding that. But then, when it comes, إِذَا جَاءَ, what should we do? Anytime there's a victory, you hold a good program, God helps you do it right, get the right equipment, the right arrangement of programs, the right people involved, get the whole community involved, invite with open arms, receive with open arms the members of the community of Muslimin from whatever background, whatever place they normally go to, whatever center they normally go to, just open. You do that, communicate with other groups of believers that are working with a group of, they're closer to a certain group of people, working together. All of these elements that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us do and do them right, and then He makes it happen. He makes something very successful where it stands out. When that happens, that's an example. You purchase a property, and with everything given, it's clearly a divine victory. When this happens, what should one do? One of the things that easily happens is, as much as we say in words that Allah made it happen and so on and so forth, we have a tendency within to give some of that credit, if not all of it, to a person, or many times, if you're like me, to myself. So if it wasn't for me doing this or doing that or saying this or saying that, it wouldn't have happened. We have a tendency to feel that way. Or at least the thoughts come to us, at the very least. For the Prophet, it's like that. The thoughts come. If even that, I don't know. I really don't know. Who am I to know? But if anything, the thoughts come. He doesn't recognize any of those thoughts as valid. They're all dismissed. Problem with us is that, for the most part, most of us, it's very, very, very difficult for us to entirely dismiss those thoughts and really believe that I had zero, really, zero role in that. It was entirely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse in this chapter is, the whole chapter is about this. When that victory comes, فَسَبِّحْ تُتَسْبِحْ. Keep saying subhanallah, subhanallah. And it's not just that word. The word has a meaning. تَسْبِحْ means I am nothing. That's the problem. See, I consider myself something, and then I look, I say, well, I did do these things. I did say this here, and if that hadn't happened, at least in our current context, then the things that happen afterwards that are because of what was said there wouldn't have happened. Well, I did it. Well, since I did it, I mean, I don't want to take credit, but it's there. Well, that's the problem. Tasbih. Who is this I? Is there an I here? Is there an I? Tasbih. Subhanallah means the fact of the matter is, the absolute fact, the clearest fact, that's, of course, while it's very clear, we are so deficient and so, our hearts are so blurred in their vision that as clear as that truth is, we have trouble seeing it. I see myself as someone and what I did as something. We say, God helped me. God helped. What did my heart say? I did it. God helped. Where? What part of it exactly did God do? I don't know. Those parts I did. But no. The very parts I did and said, this person is nothing but what God has made it to be. Those words that came out of this person were based on thoughts that came at that time and it was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why sometimes, as much as you would like to say something that is effective, it doesn't work. So it's not me wanting it to be effective, and it is effective. He gives the thought at a certain time to say something to a certain person. That person's perception of what is said, their thought process, what happens, they're convinced. The whole thing, tasbih, says the whole thing, and it is the case. It's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is that trap. We always find ourselves in that. I find myself always in that trap. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me be able to learn from the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt who implemented this. And when those thoughts come, they dismiss them. They do tasbih. They do real tasbih. They don't just have one of these in their hands. They say, subhanallah, subhanallah. While I'm saying subhanallah, I'm thinking, yeah, you know, it was so great. What I did, oh my God, it was so nice. The wording was so perfect. I'm just patting myself on the back and telling myself how great. Oh, I'm just, you know, daydreaming about how great it was. While I'm saying subhanAllah, real tasbih, where every memory of what was said or what was done, saying, Ya Allah, how you made everything happen, how you put that thought, you made that tongue speak or those fingers type or write what you wanted and the effect of it. And sometimes we see this. There's been many instances God shows this to us for us to see that when something that big happened and then I look back, I realize there was actually tons of mistakes in what I did. What came from me, just with my analysis, there's plenty of mistakes in it. Yet it was so effective. It's clear that it wasn't those words. God gave it that effect. No matter what anyone else says, people see that, this person said these things and then these great things happen. I look back, it's clear. They should have picked out all these flaws. None of that should have happened. Allah made it happen. Tasbih. Whenever we see God's victory, because it is any accomplishment, anything good that comes is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should recognize that by doing tasbih. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbik. Praise Allah for that. That's the tasbih. See, no one else is there to do anything. All the praise belongs to Allah, who is the Lord. He controls everything. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbik. Wastaghfir an dun istighfar for those thoughts of, you know, it was me, and so on and so forth. The next chapter that was read is Surah Ma'un. I want to remind us of this. I think we've covered this chapter before. The reminders are very necessary, and that's why we're told, no matter how many times you've read that chapter, read it again and again and again. Because one thing is, we'll get deeper in our understanding, and I think all of us can attest to that. Also, whatever we understand of it, we need to be reminded of. We forget. They're beautiful messages in the Quran. If we don't keep reading them, we're going to forget, as we do. We forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers in a very harsh tone. He says, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. People who reject deen, religion. You would think this is a kafir, a non-Muslim. But it's clear that no. The couple initial descriptions are ones that kuffar are described of in other chapters of the Quran. Here, because of the next few descriptions, you know that this is related to Muslimin. supposedly mu'mineen, those who identify as Muslim, as mu'min, they call themselves a believer like I and perhaps some of you. Because it's فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe unto those who pray, those who perform prayers. He was talking about those who perform prayer. They're called people who يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen that person who rejects deen? What do they do that they're rejecting their religion? Here are their descriptions. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. They leave the orphan. They don't care. Orphans are wondering about nobody to take care of them. Children that don't have anyone to take care of them. And these people call themselves Muslim and just going by nothing. The Quran, God says, أَرَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ this تَكْذِيبُ الدِّينِ. You can't be a Muslim and know that there are orphans, meaning people that are in need of help. The best and the greatest example of someone who is in need of help is a yatim. This verse specifically refers to that, but there's a general meaning that comes with it that is emphasized, that general meaning is emphasized on in the last verse. Again, we'll come to it. Aitam. Orphans are around? Doesn't care. My life's fine. My kids have parents. I don't give a damn. That person is rejecting. It doesn't matter how much they pray or fast or whatever. That's one description. Another thing, وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. They don't even encourage people to feed those who don't have. And worse, I mean, we've seen this, unfortunately. When someone talks about it, go to this part of town, go to that country, this area, that area, look at these people. They need to be fed. They need to be taken care of. Somebody talks about that, he's just like, nah, these guys are losers. It's their fault. They're like this, they're like that. Instead of encouraging anyone who mentions it, they'll say something to discourage them. Quran doesn't say they discourage. As long as they don't encourage, وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. They don't even encourage anyone to go and feed the masakin, those who are poor, that are in need of food, in need of feeding. They don't care. It's interesting that تَكْذِيب بِدِّين starts with that. Who are those who are rejecting deen? Who are they? The ones that don't care about the aitam, about orphans. They don't encourage anyone to feed the poor. Then, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِينَ. It doesn't talk about prayer. It says, woe unto, shame on. Damn you. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِينَ. Those who pray. Here it becomes clear, hey, we weren't talking about other people, we're talking about us. Meaning God is talking about us here. Not about those who don't pray. No, those who pray. Why? Now, regarding prayer, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. There is a prayer, but they don't take it seriously. It's not serious. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاهُونَ. They do it because they want to be accepted in the community as a believer. So time comes like, okay, I got to do this. Nobody's around and they don't care. I don't care. I do it because I want people to think and accept me as people need to accept me. The religious community. Salatul Maghrib is over. Some people stand up for the Ghufayla prayer or the Nafila prayer for Allah. For Allah. And God forbid someone like me gets up and like, oh, everyone, this is a masjid that they do the nafila prayers. This is one of those places. You want to be accepted here, you better get up and do that prayer too. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. They take their salah lightly, and it's to make people accept them. That's riya. We say show off. Like, what does show off mean? As if we have at the back of our mind, or if I don't do this, people are going to think of me in a negative light. Then I get up and pray. I'm like, oh, that's riya. You did that for people. You didn't do that for Allah. And then last, again, it goes back to the same thing. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. Apparently, if I remember correctly, I'll check it. If it's wrong, I'll tell you. This is about help, providing help. يَمْنَعُونَ means they prevent or they abstain from. They don't give. Or perhaps they even stop others from ma'un. Ma'un is helping. The smallest amount of help, even that, they withhold. They don't give. You can. There is need for help. You can give even a small amount. Not willing to give. Okay, go over you guys. Go do it yourself. This is الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينَ. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينَ. Have you seen a person who is rejecting the deen? It's a wake-up call for all of us, inshallah. We get to look at ourselves. I can recall some of those traits, at least, inshallah, it's only sometimes. Inshallah, it's only sometimes that I find myself in that situation. And hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us all from that. And the next chapter, which is a really very meaningful chapter in many different ways, very deep, especially in our context. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it's called Surah At-Takathur. Takathur means wanting kathra, okay? Working towards kathra. There's a race of having more. A race for having more material. All right, which is basically materialism, right? Materialism is an ideology, a belief system, if we can even call it that. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of feeling that you want to. You look at Jeff Bezos or you look at Elon Musk or these dudes and how much they have. You count the figures, like, and then you look at your bank account and you're like, oh my God, man. There's a race. Who gets more? Who's the richest? It's called takathur. Alhaakum wa takathur. This thing, alhaakum, it has kept you busy. Busy from what? The word lahaw, which ilha is a derivative of alhaakum at takathur. At takathur, this want for more and this race between you to have more, it has caused you to be distracted from something that's more important. That's within the meaning of lahw, according to the dictionaries. Lahw is to be distracted from something more important, or from something important. Takathur, we think, for many of us, unfortunately, many Muslimin, inshallah, you guys aren't like that, the listeners here, perhaps it's affected me sometimes, where we follow all of that, and we see it all over the place, and we start moving in that direction. Our whole life is based on that. Education, because of money. You look at what career makes more money. Getting into the career, switching careers, all based on how much, which one's going to give me more money. And so the life that I live revolves around how much I have. And then I keep looking at these guys. I see, oh, this guy bought this, that guy bought that. And then, God forbid, it comes into the community. Somebody drives by with a Maserati or whatever. And someone else sees that. The other one wants to have a Lambo. And it becomes a race, God forbid. None of this is haram, see? These are two different things. Having a Lambo, is it haram? Absolutely not. Okay, absolutely not. If it happens that a believer has it for reasons that are not this, I have a Ferrari, a Bugatti, any of that haram? None of that is haram. Racing for that is. Racing for that, alhaakum. If that's the thought process, there's somebody God has given him, and he's looking at the options, he needs a car, and the options he's looking at, he wants to floor that gas pedal. He enjoys speed. Somebody enjoy video games. Somebody enjoys speed. I'm one of those that unfortunately enjoy speed. And whenever you get an opportunity, okay, you have the money, you're looking at the options, this is a good option. Perhaps I don't really care about the spark and, you know, how nice it looks, but the speed is important. For instance, I'm just giving an example. Somebody has it, they purchase it, they don't have it, they don't worry about it. That means there's no race. They're not involved in a race. But when you're looking and like, oh, this guy got this, I only have, and it's funny, you know, when you engage in that race, first you look at yourself, you're like, yeah, I got my Tesla. Okay. Yeah, I got my BMW. I got my, I don't know, whatever, this. You drive by, people are looking. Then if we've entered that race, as I'm driving, feeling great about myself, I see something that's twice as expensive. And just drive by, I'm like, oh my shoot. And another, and another. And I want to go to places where these people hang out. And I keep seeing them. Look at that guy's, I don't know, watch, suit, clothing, this, that, the other. Their house, where they live, what they wear, what, all these different things. And feel like, oh, I need to catch up to that. That's called takathur, right? That race to have more. And I'm constantly thinking, oh, what do I have? What do they have? And how do I get more? How do I top that? This is takathur. If a person buys a car that's even very expensive and they like it while they remember the other verses, they are taking care of aitam. It is important for them, but they have been given more. Is it haram to have it? No. When the Prophet had those big plots of land, those big lots of land, those big huge lots, huge orchards, very rich with various fruits, and Fedek was one piece of land that was given. God said, give it to Fatima. What's Fatima salamullah alayha going to do with it? Get rid of it? So let's sell it. No, she worked there. It was hers. Of course, she didn't forget about Aitam. She didn't stop encouraging for feeding the poor or encouraging people to do that, and then her do it more than everyone else. While she kept that, she had that. That was her private property. The Prophet had a lot of private property. It was his. God said, this is yours. He didn't say, oh, I can't have this. I need to have a dinky, rusty, smelly, damp, old house that nobody likes to come. Oh, you have to. No. Take care of the poor. But you don't. Amirul Mu'mineen's dress code, we've discussed these things, but because I want to distinguish between two things. One is good and the other is bad. If we don't distinguish between these, the message is going to be lost, the message of this verse. Racing for the dunya, racing to have more of the dunya is different. The Prophet never raced, but God did give him. When God gave him, did God say, I don't want you to have this, you got to get rid of it? He said, no, keep it, it's yours, I want you to have it. Amirul Mu'mineen that we all hear had dry bread, didn't even want to have milk in addition to salt with the bread, just the salt and bread. This is at a particular time for a reason other than that. There was a race happening within the leadership, the political leadership of the Muslimin was involved in that race. That had caused the whole community of believers to be racing one another to have more of the dunya. Amirul Mu'mineen was trying to change that. For that, he didn't buy new shoes. He kept fixing up the same old shoes to say, people, this is not worth anything. Not that if you have it, if he was who he was before that happened, meaning living a personal life at a certain level, he wasn't the ruler. And therefore, he wouldn't be seen. And if he would wear that and do that and keep sewing his shoes, it wouldn't be effective. Just a person. Is it halal for Amir al-Mu'mineen to have orchards, to have gold, to have this? Absolutely. And he did. Do we have accounts that Ali ibn Abi Talib had dry bread in Medina before he became the fourth Khalifa? Meaning politically the fourth Khalifa. In terms of the God-given Khilafah, which is the true Khilafah, he's the first. There is no one before him. But politically, being the one that rules in that sense. Before that point, did he not have meat? Absolutely. Did he have dry bread with salt? No. He was trying to combat. These things should not be mixed up. There may be a time that the person who has all that wealth, like Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullahi alayhi, there comes a time that God says, okay, now I want you to give it all up. Because he wasn't looking to have more and more. When God says, have and enjoy, he says, I will have and I will enjoy. When God says, give it all up, he says, every bit of it, here you go. It's all yours. No issue whatsoever, because that's not what the aim is. Takathur is a big problem. Takathur is a big problem. We're living in the center of it, the epicenter of this earthquake that is shaking the world, that is destroying the world. The epicenter is the United States of America. A race for money, a race for this world. Al-Hakum, this has distracted you, the verse says. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ, until you get to the graves. That's the end of this. When we get to the grave, we realize that all the Lambos and Bugattis and the private jets and so many properties, owning islands, owning countries, thinking that I'm the god, I run the world. Some idiot fools like Fir'aun think that way. Today's Fir'auns, I'm talking about them. Some of these fools, Zionists, presidents of our country or other countries, they think, oh, on top of the world, I rule the world. I can only go until the grave. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. No. You will in the future, but not too far. Because death is not too far down the line. We always forget that. It's not too far down the line. You will come to know. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. You will in the future, you will. It's repeated. ثُمَّ كَلَّا. The same message. No, you will learn. I made a mistake there. It's not seen. It's sofa. Sofa means in the future. It actually says, in a sense, the Quran speaks both ways. Sometimes death is considered near, which it is, because these are relative terms. One way you look at it, it's near. Sometimes the message is that. Here, it's actually that it's far away. Like, it's far away. It's not going to be tomorrow or the next day. سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. You will. There will be a time that you will learn. It's still near from the other perspective. Here, the person doesn't believe it. That's the problem. That's why it's seen as far. As far as it is, you will. Definitely. And that's why it's repeated. One of the reasons why it's repeated twice. No, you will. Maybe 100 years from now. Maybe 20 years from now. Maybe 50 years from now. But you will know. كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Again, then know, you will come to know. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in a different way. Kalla, no. In other words, none of that is the way you think it is. It's a race for this material life. No. لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينِ. If you had certainty, real knowledge with certainty, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, you would see hellfire right now. You would see that it's so real and so true. You have been distracted with all the glamour of the world, material life, and this race to have more. You have forgotten, because that race sucks you into the nastiest, dirtiest things that you will do to get to all of that. Step on everybody's backs, stab so many people in the back to be able to get up there. You forget about this, that's why you're distracted. But if you had knowledge with certainty, real knowledge, you would see Jahim, you would see hellfire. If somebody sees hellfire and people are like, look, do this, cut corners, cheat here, steal there, they're not looking. Who cares about this? Worry about yourself. Betray your brother. Are you stupid not to take this money? That's what they're saying. He's seeing Jahim. Like, what are you talking about? Do you not see it? Like, no, what are you talking about? He's saying, what are you talking about? They're saying, what are you talking about? Problem is that, سوف تعلمون, for those who have that type of language, in the future, they will come to know. A person who has علم اليقين, like, I'm seeing it. I'm not interested in those things. That does not interest me. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. If you had real knowledge, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا. Then you will, some at least have explained it in this way, you will see it عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ. You will see it. Not just having knowledge of it, but seeing it, عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ. And then, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. That day, you will be asked of النَّعِيمِ, the blessings. We have hadith. This doesn't mean like money here, that, you know, I gave you this much food. People get stingy with like, oh, don't make too much, it's going to go to waste. Or whatever. They get stingy in these things, the na'am here, these material na'am that God has said, take what you like. God has said, especially for your families, provide whatever they like. For other people, inviting guests, giving to the poor, provide. We're like, no, no, this is going to go to waste. And we've heard if you let these breadcrumbs grow to waste, then you're going to lose your money. Oh, so that's the thing. So it's the same thing. It's takathur. I've seen people, they call themselves religious, and like they're very particular about this. Why? Because they're afraid of losing their wealth. Like so that's the whole incentive. If it's for Allah, God said, no, don't worry about it. That's not the na'im that's going to be asked of. The ni'mah is the ni'mah of guidance. I sent you a messenger. I sent you imams. I sent you their students that were guided by them. They spoke to you. What did you do with that? I gave you the Qur'an. I gave you the Qur'an in a way that I preserved it. The words were the same for 1400 years and until the day of judgment. Everybody had, all of you had a copy of it or it was available to you. What did you do with it? Did you buy it and put it in your bookshelf? Take it out on the month of Ramadan, just read through it like, okay, we're done. Alhamdulillah, we did that. Let's move on. It's guidance. And these are the na'im that we will be asked of. And we did Surah At-Tin as well, but I'm not sure. I guess I'm pretty much done. With my attention span. I hope I didn't go over the attention span of the brothers and sisters who have tuned in, as I many times do. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us all be able to take the verses of the Quran and understand them, process them, accept them at heart, and try our best. The next step is to try your best to implement, and wherever we have shortcomings, ask Allah for forgiveness and the ability to make up for those shortcomings. Last point here is regarding the month of Ramadan. The calendar right now suggests that Sha'ban is 29 days. The month of Sha'ban is 29 days, and therefore it will be the beginning of the month of Ramadan will be on Tuesday, which would otherwise have been the 30th of the month of Sha'ban. In the Islamic Republic, the experts have said over there, it's actually impossible. So this prediction in the calendar, 29, is based on a prediction that the moon will be sighted. Now they're looking and they're providing the evidence. I don't know who put that calendar together, but the experts are saying in Iran and Iraq, it will not be visible even with optical aid, which according to those who follow Maraja, who say optical aid is sufficient, like Ayatollah Khamenei, In Iran, they've said even that's not going to be possible based on calculation. It's clear, it's not going to be visible. So they've already announced that Wednesday is going to be the beginning of the month of Ramadan in the Islamic Republic. I didn't hear an announcement for Iraq, but if in Iran, with optical aid, it's not going to be visible, since Iraq goes based on the fatwa of Atlas Sistani, and Atlas Sistani requires the moon to be sighted, the hilal, or the crescent to be sighted without optical aid, then it's not definitely not going to be 29 days, and they will be starting on Wednesday. However, we're in California. This is the edge of the world in terms of east and west. Mainland, at least. There's a few islands, perhaps, that are further out. But so we're pretty far away from them, and we're very close to this side, and we're not too far up north either. The chances of the visibility of the crescent are relatively higher. I don't want to comment and say, is it actually visible? I haven't checked some of the websites like Moon Sighting that have those comments. But we know that compared to Iran and Iraq, the chances or the possibilities are more. And we do know that believers do go out to sight the moon. I will check again. I don't think it's going to be impossible here, at least with optical aid. It may be possible. I will check. But anyhow, the point is, this is what the predictions are, and this is what has been said. Inshallah, on Monday night, we will wait and we will check graphs that are there and the data that's available on the various sites that are there. And we will wait for people calling in to say if the moon has been sighted. So if we look at the data and it's possible and believers call in, Muslimin, they call in, they have seen the moon with the naked eye or with optical aid, either way, whatever we find, inshallah, Monday night, we will make, we will be putting up a video, or I will come live stream and you can find that message, inshallah, and we'll see if we're going to be starting the month of Ramadan on Tuesday or on Wednesday. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us in this month if He hasn't forgiven us up to this point in the month of Sha'ban. We pray that He forgives us on this night, and we pray that He helps us in the coming month of Ramadan to ascend, to be able to witness Laylatul Qadr, witness the descent of the angels, witness the wali of Allah who receives those angels and all of that, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah to help us be His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide and all people worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests, and to relieve all of us of this pandemic. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Ali, rahimallahu man qara al-Fatihata ma'as-salawat.